Dear friends in Jesus Christ, we come to an important text today. We're in Matthew chapter 3. We're taking a look at what God sent John the Baptizer to say when he was out in the wilderness and baptizing. The message he has is a very strong message. It's a very harsh message. Why is that? It is because God loves us so much that he wants us to repent now so we can be with him forever. So I hope you take it as a message of great, great love. If God simply tells us what we want to hear, that's not going to help us. When God tells us the full truth, he tells us because he loves us so much and he wants us through Jesus to be with him forever. Taking a look at the text here, I have seven questions I want to address and then answer, and I'll be reading through the text as well. First question, why should we repent? The Bible says, "Now in those days, John the Baptist came, preaching in the wilderness of Judea, saying, 'Repent,' literally, 'be repenting, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand.'" What is this idea of be repenting? It means it is an ongoing type of thing. Think about someone who is repenting from the time they're very young until the time they're very old, and then for the last time of their lives on earth, they stop repenting. What's going to happen with them? They're going to be lost forever. God is saying, continue repenting all the way to the end. It's also an all-encompassing kind of a thing. In other words, God isn't saying, oh, take a look at your life, and I want 90% of it. So with 90% of your life, I want you to be repenting, and you can do whatever you want over here with this 10%. No, that's not what God is saying. He's saying it is a total, all-encompassing repentance. God wants us to understand the importance of that. It's said that we are being called to repent because the kingdom of heaven is at hand. What is the kingdom of heaven? Lenski gave this definition. He said the kingdom is where the king is and rules with his power and his grace. So the kingdom of heaven is not a geographical kingdom. We can't like go to a particular place, but wherever the king, wherever King Jesus is ruling over the heart of a person, that is where the kingdom of God is. For most people in the world, they are their own king. God is calling them to repent, to get off the throne, and permit Jesus, the Son of God, to be the king over their hearts and over their lives. Lenski also went on to say, all men should long to receive this kingdom. It is actually a wonderful, amazing thing, but what has the devil and the forces of evil, what have they done? They have convinced so many people that the things of this life are better than being in the kingdom of God. That's exactly what we have going on. So few people are willing to let go of the temporal, sinful things of this world in order to repent and be in the kingdom of God, because the devil has convinced them otherwise. A very bad situation. He's trying to also convince us of the same. What does this mean to repent? Lenski put it this way. He said it is a turning. So just like I mentioned to the kids, repentance is a turning from sin and self-righteousness. That self-righteousness is a big one. So many people are thinking, yes, I have sin, but I'm not really that bad. Anyone who says that, they're basically saying, I am righteous enough, and I am trusting in me. So it's so important that we turn from our sin, from our trust in self. And who are we turning to? We are turning to the King, King Jesus, and his kingdom. And notice the wonderful things that are in the kingdom: pardon, peace, joy. These are wonderful, wonderful things. God is saying, stop hanging on to the sinful world, but rather turn, repent, and God has wonderful things for us now and wonderful things for us forever. Second question, who was John the Baptizer? We've heard this many times. The Bible says, this is the one referred to by Isaiah the prophet when he said, the voice of one calling out in the wilderness, prepare the way of the Lord, make his paths straight. If we think about that, that's a quote out of Isaiah chapter 40. So that means that the Holy Spirit was working through Isaiah 700 years before John was born in order to move Isaiah to write this prophecy about this person named John who would come. And what would he do? He would do this great work in order to call people to repent. Let's understand that John is highly significant. When you think about him being prophesied hundreds of years prior, and then he comes, and then what he says, we should so much be taking that to heart. But let's understand, though, we live in a world where most people don't even want to hear the word repentance or take any of this to heart. Very sad situation, but let's love those people. We're going to be praying for them in a couple minutes here. If we're not viewing John in a super significant way, may God help us to repent. Question number three, why was John very simple? The Bible says John himself had a garment of camel's hair and a leather belt around his waist, and his food was locusts and wild honey. Well, think about John's simplicity. He had only one set of clothing. Does anybody here only have one set of clothing? Does anybody here even know how many sets of clothing you have? No, we have such an abundance, don't we? But with John, though, one set of clothing, and he had no need to ever go to the grocery store because he's living off the land, locusts and wild honey, so he never had to go shopping. He didn't need money to go shopping. It was a great blessing. What did John have? John had much time for God and his word. What about many today? Well, many today have no time for God and his word because they're so busy with the many things that God has given them. So if we think about it like this, God is up here, the gifts are here, and we are here. But what has happened, though, and this can happen to us too, we have to be careful. So often, we're only looking up enough to see the gifts. We forget they came from God, so we don't thank him. And then with the gifts, we tend to trust in them. The gifts become our God. So it's a very dangerous thing. Let's always remember that every good thing we have, God has gifted it to us. So important. Question number four, why were many confessing and believing? The Bible says, at that time, Jerusalem was going out to him, and all Judea, and all the region around the Jordan, and they were being baptized by him in the Jordan River as they confessed their sins. So we're talking about an awful lot of people here who were going out just in Judea back at that time. We believe there were about 500 to 600,000 who lived in Judea. And what I just read, that's talking about even areas beyond Judea. So the number would even be greater than that, is what God is saying to us. What I want you to pick up here now would be the order. Now, this is another quote here from Lenski, but it's a very important order that we have going on here. This is really an order that we should know very well, that God has worked this order within us. And if we would talk to somebody else, we should be able to communicate this order to them. So Lenski wrote that John preached repentance. In other words, God was calling people to change from where they are to the things of God. So he preached repentance, and then all who were moved. So the people are hearing what he's preaching. The Holy Spirit is moving some of them in order to repent. So that's a work that went on in the heart. So when they repented, that was a change of heart. When God worked that change of heart, then out of the mouth, they were confessing. So when the repentance was going on, it couldn't be seen by anyone, but then it was heard as the people were confessing. And then when John heard people confessing, then he was baptizing them for the forgiveness of their sins. So it's a very important order that God worked within them. For any adult today, God wants to work the same thing, that they would hear the word of God, that the Spirit of God would move them to repentance, that they would confess that now they no longer want to go in sin, now they're trusting in Jesus, now they want to go in a new direction in life, and then God wants to assure them that their sins are forgiven. So it's basic stuff, but it's so important. Let's rejoice that it applies to us, and then let's care about others so they can understand it and they can also receive these great blessings. Question 5, why did John question the Jewish leaders? So John is there baptizing. These Jewish leaders come to him for baptism. Let's see what happens. But when John saw many of the Pharisees and Sadducees coming for baptism, he said to them, "You offspring of vipers, who warned you to flee from the wrath to come? Therefore, produce fruit consistent with repentance. And do not assume that you can say to yourselves, 'We have Abraham as our father,' for I tell you that God is able from these stones to raise up children for Abraham. And the axe is already laid at the root of the trees. Therefore, every tree that does not bear good fruit is being cut down and thrown into the fire." So thinking about the ending there for a moment with the axe. So if you've ever used a long handle axe, you know how it works, is you want to chop a particular thing, so you have the axe with two hands toward the end of the handle, and you're going to place the blade of that axe right where you want to chop, and if you're chopping in a downward direction, you're going to come all the way around with that axe so you can make a full swing when you chop. What I'm trying to say is, you're going to put the blade where you want to chop, and there's no other step other than taking the swing and chopping what you intend to chop. God wants us to know that the axe is already there. So this is a point of great urgency. God is saying, don't put it off. Maybe we're thinking, we know people who are not repentant, and yet I don't want to talk to them during the time of Advent or Christmas. I'm going to wait to the new year. God is saying, this is a point of great urgency. God is saying, don't put off repenting for ourselves. Don't put off calling others to repentance. It is so very important. A couple things here. So before adults are baptized, they must be hearing the word of God. They must be open to that. And then as they are hearing the word of God, the Holy Spirit is at work, and then they are repenting. And when they are expressing repentance and showing change in their lives, then we're willing to baptize them as adults. Now, it's different with infants, but with adults, so we want them to show this change. But what was going on there, though, when these Pharisees and Sadducees came to John and they wanted to be baptized, what was John doing? John was saying, I'm not aware there's any repentance going on the inside, because I'm not hearing any confessing on the outside. Therefore, I refuse to baptize you. And here John is calling them a brood of vipers. So he's using a very strong phrase in order to help them understand their true condition in the heart. Now, that might sound mean-spirited that John would say that, but he's really trying to love them. He's trying to help them. He wants them to know the full truth so the Holy Spirit can grip them and change them. That's what so many people need. And then let's understand that when repentance is real, it's going to show. So if we have a healthy apple tree, it's going to produce apples. If we have a true repentant Christian, what is going to be produced? What is going to be produced would be the fruit of the Spirit. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, and so on. That is going to show. If we had an apple tree right here, and you're telling me over and over again how healthy that tree is, and when it's apple season and I look out and I don't see a single apple there, I'm going to say that what you're saying is not correct. Or how many people are telling us, I am a Christian, but yet there's no fruit, there's no change, there's no evidence of that. God wants us to know that when people are really repentant in the heart, that's going to show with what they say, and that's going to show with what they do. I hesitate to do this, but I'm going to do it though, because I love the members of Bethlehem, and I love people even beyond Bethlehem. So I skimmed over the membership list the other day. We have 212 members here at Bethlehem, and I would say that like at least 70, if not even more than that, they are in a situation where they seem to be fruitless. Now, when I say that, I can't look into their hearts, but let's understand, though, fruit is coming from what people say and from what people do. So there are a good number of them that are showing no fruit at all. Like, I'm heartbroken over that. I want to have a prayer for such people now, thinking about all of our members, thinking about people we know who are not connected to Bethlehem, even thinking about all the people in the world who need to repent. Let us pray. Dear Lord, we pray for your powerful mercy and deep intervention within all people who have closed minds. May you open up their minds. May you get deep into their hearts. May you lead them to sincere repentance. May you enliven all who are spiritually dead. May you move them to sincere confession. And then may you assure them that in Christ alone they are forgiven. And then from that forgiven heart, may you help them to produce proper fruit. May you lead them to join us here or at some Bible-believing congregation, and may you then keep all of us in true, ongoing repentance to the very end of our lives. And all God's people said, amen. Question number 6, how is John different than Jesus? John said, as for me, I baptize you with water for repentance, but he who is coming after me is mightier than I, and I am not fit to remove his sandals. He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and with fire. So first of all, thinking here about John, let's understand that the Holy Spirit worked through John's baptism in order to gift people with forgiveness, and he did that for all who were repenting and confessing. What about Jesus? How is he different? Well, on the day of Pentecost, that was 50 days after Jesus was raised from the dead, he received the Holy Spirit from God the Father, and he poured out the Holy Spirit on the day of Pentecost. He poured it out upon all the believers. That's a spirit that we have too. So when we have God-given faith in Jesus, the Holy Spirit is living within us. when we think about the Holy Spirit prior to Pentecost versus after Pentecost, what is the difference? Jesus tells us over in John 14, he told his disciples, the Spirit is with you, but a time is coming when he will be in you. When did that time begin? That began on the day of Pentecost. So the Holy Spirit is living within us. Why is he living within us? To enable us to understand the meaning of the Bible, to give us the power to live out the Bible, to give us the courage to call other people to repentance. The Holy Spirit in us is so important. We should not be relying upon ourselves. We should always be relying upon the Holy Spirit who is living within us. The final question here, number 7, what will Jesus do when he comes? The Bible says his winnowing fork is in his hand, and he will thoroughly clear his threshing floor, and he will gather his wheat into the barn, but he will burn up the chaff with unquenchable fire. Oh, that's hard to even read that. It's like so horrible. Why would God do that? God doesn't want that for anyone. Jesus said clearly in Matthew chapter 25 that he made a horrible place for the devil and his angels. Those are the ones who are supposed to go to the horrible place. All people are supposed to go and be with God through Jesus. But what happens, though, all who reject Jesus, they end up taking a detour over to the horrible place with the devil and his angels. Jesus already has this winnowing fork in his hand. So it's very similar to the axe being laid at the root of the tree. So it's a sense of great urgency. He already has the fork in his hand, so we should know that at any moment he's going to start to use it. Thinking about the wheat, for those who continue in repenting and believing, Jesus will gladly gather them in the end. May God grant that to every one of us. May God grant that to everyone that we know. May God grant that to multitudes that we don't know. I don't want anyone to be in the other category. May God work so powerfully in the world. However, though, for all the rest, those who are identified as chaff, those who have rejected Jesus, those who are unrepentant, the Bible is clear, Jesus will burn them with a fire that cannot be put out. Boy, that's so horrible, isn't it? But God wants us to know it now. He wants that to like sober us up. He wants that to move us to complete, sincere repentance. And then he wants us to be so concerned about others that we would beg them, that we would plead with them to repent. God can change any person. How does God do that? He does it by the Spirit through the Word. So let's, whatever way we can, share the Word of God with others. That's like activating the Holy Spirit. And as people are into the Word, the Spirit is going to be at work, and the Spirit is able to lead them to repent. Let us pray. Dear Lord, we know your word is true, so we know great gladness as we think about being wheat. We also know great sadness as we think about many being chaff. Help us to see that the sadness is of such great significance May you move so many who are unaware of what's going on. May you move these people who are so immersed in the world that they don't even have time for the truth. May you get their attention somehow, some way. May you make them aware. May you show them your love, and may you lead many to repentance. We think about the members of Bethlehem. We think about our own family members. We think about our friends, our neighbors, our co-workers. We think about even the most evil people in the world. Dear Father, we know that Jesus died for them too, and we know that you want them to repent. You want them to have radically different lives. May you grant that to many, and grant it soon before it is too late. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.